Hey, everybody, it's Mark Pattison. I'm back again with another great episode of Finding Your Summit, all about people overcoming adversity and finding their way. Certainly applies to this guest today, who I can't wait to get to. But before we do that, I want to talk about my website, www.markpattisonnfl.com. There's a lot of stuff going on there, including over 270 podcasts I've done with just incredible people doing amazing things. So you can check that out. Please go into Apple anytime. Give the show a ratings and review so we can get and find more viewers and listeners that can actually be inspired by, again, these incredible people. Also alongside that is my movie, Emmy-winning, Searching for the Summit, Best Picture, done by the NFL. You can check that out. It's really cool, very inspirational, and all about my Everest journey with the person I'm going to talk to today, which is really cool. And then last but not least, I continue to raise money for Higher Ground through my campaign, A Million is Everest. We've done all kinds of different events, raised thousands of dollars, and it goes to a great cause for people who have to overcome, mostly military people, cognizant things and adaptive issues, and trying to get those people literally back on their feet and confident in life again. Okay, on that note, let's talk to a guest. This is our third time she's been on the podcast. It is a world record. Her name is Kristen Harla. Kristen, how you doing?
Great. Yeah, I'm back in Kathmandu, and that's always feels good to be back here.
Well, last time I was in Kathmandu, I was with you. And so I want to give the audience a setup, right? So just in case people don't know, and then, you know, this amazing thing, and this is kind of chapter really two, maybe three, of talking to you about what you're trying to achieve and all those different things. And specifically, I want to get into this kind of this whole last round in Pakistan, which was just insane. And so again, number one, you and I were teammates on Mount Everest. You were able to go up and down, not only Mount Everest, but Lhotse, which I was not able to do, but you did it. You pulled it off. And then I remember on our last podcast that you're saying, I couldn't wait to get the hell off the mountain. I was so fried in every way. And when you got back down to camp two, you were almost depressed and sad because you couldn't wait to go back up another mountain. I was just like, you go, girl, but I'm out on that. But, you know, kind of at that moment, I think, is the point of reflection that you said, I want to do something much more grand. This movie 14 Peaks came out. We'll get into that in just a second. But Kristen, first of all, welcome to the show. And number two is let's set up kind of your master goal that you dream up once you got back to camp two when you and I were on Everest together, and kind of where, like, we'll kind of go through these mountains one by one now that we're in Pakistan, but kind of let's bring this up to speed. Like, what was the big goal?
Yeah. So when I came to camp two on Everest, the first thing I was doing, I was calling back to my father and saying, I'm going to climb K2 next summer. And then I was starting to think more and more about this 8,000 meter and that I wanted to climb them all. And it's 14 of them. And normally it's only like 40 people in the world that has done all of them. So not many people have done it. And then I knew NIMS did it in 2019 in 6 months. And I was like, okay, I'm 35 now and I want to have kids. And yeah, and I was thinking, okay, I want to try to do it now and want to try to do it fast to take the record. Also because I had felt that this sport and this brands and the industry behind this sport was very far from equal. So I was thinking, okay, the best way to do something with that is to show that we are just as capable as men to climb. So then this project started. Of course, it was a long and very challenging job to find enough money to do this. Maybe the hardest part about this project. Yeah. But but in March I was in Nepal and I was like, okay, decided, okay, I will try now to do all of them in one season.
Okay. So let me just back up just a little bit so people understand what you're talking about. Okay. So number one, doing 14 8-meter peaks means that you're climbing the 14 highest mountains in the world that are over 24,000 feet. So just interpreting from meters to feet. Okay, that's number one. Number two is There's a guy named Nimsday. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but he worked with Jimmy Chin and created this really cool film called 14 Peaks. I actually met him in Namaste when we were there. I didn't realize he was up to all this, but they came out with a really cool film. And it just really talked about how a Nepalese really badass dude, you know, was able to climb these 14 peaks that you just mentioned in record time, which was 6 months. So then you came down and said, not only do I want to become the first woman to do this, but I want to do it in the fastest time. And so you've kind of like chunked this. In the first chunk, last time we talked, you just kind of got done doing the whole Himalaya part of this. I think you had six mountains under you.
Six mountains, yeah.
Okay. So then the second part of that, and this is where we're getting caught up today, because I want to get into this, because I, you know, I was watching you every single move, you know, I'm your biggest fan. And so the whole idea was to do, I think it was another five or six mountains in Pakistan, right?
Yep.
Five mountains, right? Mm-hmm. So now you have three, I think, to go. Right, which now requires cooperation from the Chinese government and all that stuff, which we'll get into in just a second. So, okay, let's start with K2. You know, one of the things for me, you know, I'm very aware of K2, and a lot of people, you know, have died on that mountain, and they've died because it's super steep from beginning to end. There's a lot of rockfall that comes down, and there's just a whole lot of danger that you don't get on other mountains. And so let's talk about K2 first. So what was your experience there?
Well, I have to say, for me, K2 wasn't the hardest mountain at all. And I didn't feel it was very dangerous either. For me, I think K2 probably was the easiest mountain we did of the five we did in Pakistan.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's a little bit because of a lot of people on K2. And of course, there were some rockfalls, which we also had on Nanga and Broad Peak. But most of all, like when it's a lot of people, it's like it's fixed ropes all the way.
Yeah. So you're behind people.
Yeah. And it's good steps, which also makes it so much easier than if you go alone on a mountain in deep, deep snow. And very short summit push, only 5 hours up, 600 meters. And yeah, it was some rockfalls, but not the hardest mountain for sure.
And did you have any fear? There's that, as you're, I can't remember what they call it, but as you're going for the summit peak, you have to go under that big cornice. And there have been points in time where that thing has collapsed and taken out climbers. Is that a scary, or was that a scary moment for you?
It wasn't. I was just like focusing on getting up there as fast as possible. Mm-hmm. So, and of course, we start in the night when the ice is cold.
Yeah.
And moving faster is, of course, reducing the risk. So for me, it was like, okay, just get up there and get past this big Serac and the bottleneck. And when I started, I was like almost in front and I was passing some people. And then I was able to just go in my pace and reach the summit after only 5 hours. So I was like, oh, it's done already. and actually we had just totally dark on the summit. I reached the summit 2:30 in the morning, and then it was like, no chance I can wait here for daylight.
Yeah.
Because I wait for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And 8,600 meters, it's too long to stay up there.
Yeah.
So I reached the summit and I was like, okay, I will wait for some friends coming up. And we had like almost all the Madison team that we were with last year. And KB came up and our Sherpa came up, and we just had a lovely time on the summit. But there was no chance waiting. So we started to climb down. And of course, early in the morning, the Serac, the big ice block, is cold after the night because the sun hasn't been hitting there. So it's safer to go in the night than early morning. If you go after the sun has been on the ice all day, it's much more risky for ice block coming down.
Yeah, that's incredible. I don't think Garrett climbed to the top this year, correct?
Garrett stayed in base camp, and I was talking with him the day before we went up, and I said, okay, I think your mother and your father is happy that you are staying down.
He's more than proved himself, as you know. Okay, so we knock off K2. What was the second mountain you went?
So the first one was actually Nanga, which I found much harder. And I shouldn't say much more dangerous, but we had a lot of rock falls on Nanga, and I was actually hit by a big rock, hit my leg. We were done with the summit, and we were almost in base camp, and it just totally smashed my phone. But maybe my phone saved my leg, but I had to go to hospital and had pain for 2 weeks. But we were a little bit lucky because I got a ride with a heli from Skardu to K2 base camp, and we got some bad weather. So I had like two and a half weeks just resting after this rock hit me.
Did it catch your leg open, or just heavy bruise?
Yeah, just heavy bruise. But I wasn't sure all the time. I was like, oh, it's like it was very swollen and very big the first couple of days. But then it went down and I had more pain inside. And I was like, oh, not sure how this would be climbing with.
Yeah.
So, but it was like good for me that we got some time with bad weather because I could rest then.
Yeah. Okay. So then what was, okay. So now we go. So K2 was number two. And this one you just talked about was number one. Then number two, what was number three?
That was Broad Peak.
Yeah.
Just after, like a week after K2, we summited Broad Peak.
And that's adjacent from K2, correct?
Yeah. It's very, very close. And we had the same base camp. And so we rested one day in base camp and then we started to climb on Broad Peak. And also a lot of rock falls on Broad Peak and not so much people. So, and a lot of like snow and avalanche. So actually in the summit push when we were climbing, I was suddenly standing in an avalanche and there came a lot of them, but they were small. But when they're coming, you never know how big is it.
Yeah.
And Broad Peak is also like, I think there was four people dying on K2 and four on Broad Peak this year. So it's also a dangerous mountain, and we have a very, very long summit ridge with no ropes, and we had like 11 hours up, and that makes like Broad Peak harder than K2 for me. Mm. Like deep, deep snow, no ropes. It's like totally different to go without ropes, I have to say.
I wouldn't want to go without ropes, number one. I mean, it's very dangerous, as you know. And number two is, like you said, when you're having to break your own snow and you're up to your waist, you know, that is physically taxing. That's tough.
Yeah, it is. And it's so different from going where you can go like almost on a trail and you have the rope and it's people in front of you breaking trails. So it's so much easier. So, Broad Peak was harder for me, and also had like a couple of situations where we were like really having a lot of rock falls just around us. So yeah, that was also like dangerous. And then we had to wait because we got bad weather again. So we had to wait some days for moving to Gasherbrum, another base camp, a long day walking. And then we were in the base camp there, and they share camp one, Gasherbrum one and two. So we have to go through an ice fall. And when we moved up, the ice fall was okay. It was some place it was rope that we had fixed, but most of the time no ropes there. And it was harder than the Kumbu ice fall, actually.
Wow. So you're talking about now mountain four and five.
Yep, mountain four and five in Pakistan, yeah.
Yep.
So, but we had like an easy walk up. And then they went for Gasherbrum 2 first, and a very, very long summit push, like 1,600 meter actually.
Mm.
And like K2, for example, was 600 meter summit push.
Yeah.
So a much longer summit push, and also no ropes there. And of course, that's...
Why are you climbing with no ropes?
Because there's no people there. So
But you're climbing with your... Well, you're talking about fixed rope. Yeah. So you're probably roped into your guide, right?
Yeah. So my two Sherpas, Pastaba and Uncle Daba, when it's steep or when we are on the ice fall or something, of course we have one rope between us and are clipped into that. But like on Everest and K2, the fixing team or a team of Sherpa go in front of the climbers, and set rope into the ice or into the mountain. And the climbers that come after, we can put this jumar on and pull ourselves up. And we are, of course, more safe so we don't fall down compared to when it's no ropes there. So when it's no rope, we have a rope between us and we use the ice axe to climb.
Mm, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So of the five mountains and then that you climbed in Pakistan, which ones were the most challenging? What was the most challenging?
Yeah, maybe I should say G1, the last one.
Ah.
Just because we had no ropes from Camp 3 to the summit, and it was like very steep with blue ice under.
Ooh.
So when we had to go down, we have to go backwards with the ice axe. And of course, that's very tiring.
Well, it's very scary too.
Yeah,
that's a little like you and I going up the Lhotse face, which I can't imagine doing with no rope. I mean, it's just you fall and that's it.
Yeah, it's just like that. It's steep like the Lhotse wall, and icy like that.
Yeah,
and it's tiring, and you have to be like prepared, and you have to be awake, and you have to make sure that your ice axe are in the ice and make good steps, and suddenly you have snow. And you have ice under, so it's so much harder. Yeah, so I have to say Gashabrum 1, but also Nanga was challenging. Yeah.
And that was the one you had to break all the snow?
Yeah. Yeah, and we had also there, like, no ropes from Camp 4 to the summit.
Yeah.
And a long, long traverse there. But also, like, Nanga was probably the part where we had the most, technical climb of all the mountains I have done so far. We have this Kingshofer wall, it's called. It's just a big, big wall, rock wall that we have to climb. So Nanga and G1, I have to say.
Crazy. Yeah. Okay, so your overall experience, you know, for, as an American, you're a Norwegian. But as an American, going to Pakistan isn't always the great, best idea. But from your perspective of flying in there, going to the big busy city and then going out to base camps, to these different places, what was your experience in the country of Pakistan?
Yeah, I have to say, like, I had never been to Pakistan before. And Nepal, I have been to so many times, and I know so much people, and I know the food and the mountains, and it's so much more like I know this country. And Pakistan was, like, totally different. And it's not like I felt safe most of the time. And we had this legal officer from the army in base camp. But for me, it's like the food was different. And I had like 3 or 4 rounds with food poisoning, like really bad food poisoning.
Yeah.
And the logistic is so much harder. Moving from Nanga to K2 base camp, it's not very easy. I was hit by this rock. Still, I had to walk out 12 hours. And at one point, I was walking 1 kilometer in 30 minutes. And then we had to drive on these crazy roads. And now Pakistan have a lot of rain and flooding there. And we can see how far they are from, like, the Western world in safety on the roads and... and how much they are hurting now with this flooding. So Pakistan was different, but also like this logistic things, it's so much harder there than in Nepal.
Yeah, and in Nepal has its challenges too. We're moving into kind of the last phase of this, right? So the first phase again was the Himalaya, which is in Nepal. The second phase was in Pakistan, so you had another five mountains to go. And now we're really into phase 3 from the Norwegian Wonder Woman. There she is right there. So let us know that the three mountains that you have left, number one, and then also let's talk about your within the 6 months, because you're trying to beat that record. Where do you fall in that whole timeline of trying to be the fastest person ever, pull this thing off?
Yeah, so we have to be finished the 4th of November to take the record.
Okay.
And that's possible as we are now. But there is one big problem, and that's the per permit to climb Shishipang Manchoyu, that is in Tibet of China, and it's also the visum, like the visa to get into China. So that's the two big problems that we have.
Why are the China? Okay, so for everybody out there, so China controls Tibet. And so you're not going through Tibet, you're going through China, and China basically is a big pain in the ass. So why are they so difficult to work with in something that is actually such a noble, authentic, amazing goal to go after? Why wouldn't they want you to go after that goal?
Yeah, the problem is COVID. And for us, like in Norway, we lived like totally normal and we forgot COVID. So the problem is that they have been closed all since COVID came, and they are very strict on that. So they haven't given anyone like a visa for tourism there. They only given some business visa, but only since June or July this year, actually. They have been closed all the time. So they have been very strict on that. And now there is a problem again because they got more cases also in Tibet. So that's the reason why they won't let us in. So we already got no from this China Mountaineering Association. And then we have to ask the government to give us the permit to go. And of course, we had said, like, no problem, we can quarantine and we can test and whatever you want us to do, we will, of course, do that. So we have a couple of options now. We will start with Manaslu, that is in Nepal, and a mountain there will be a lot of people on this year because so many people want to go to the real summit. So for years, people have been walking to a summit that is a little bit lower than the real summit. They are very close, but you cannot follow the ridge. You have to go a little bit down and up to reach the real summit. So we think it will be a lot of people on Manaslu this year. But we are sure that we can do that. And when we are finished with Manaslu, if we have the permit and the visa, we will, of course, go over to Tibet and try Shishipang Manchoyu. But if we don't have it in time, we will try to do Choyu from Nepal side. And it has never been climbed from Nepal side, but it is possible. So, yeah, we just have to see how we are standing after Manaslu is done.
And when is Manaslu that you're talking about?
Yeah, I was landing in Kathmandu today, actually. And I have a friend here with me, and she is going to start the trekking in 2 days. I will be in Kathmandu to work with the permit for another week, actually. And then I will fly up to Manaslu base camp because I'm still acclimatized. So I can go a little bit higher than she can. And then we will try to summit between September 20 and 25th or something.
Nice.
Yeah. So we still have a couple of weeks to get the permit. But I know when Nims also did this, he also had problems. And that was before COVID because China has been closed, or they had closed Shishipang Ma.
Yeah. Well, look, you know, I don't think this was talked about a whole lot, but I remember when you and I went to the top of Everest and we were still in the midst of all this COVID stuff in 2021. They literally, I don't know if you saw this, but they literally, you know, well, first of all, let me describe for people who, most people haven't been on top of Mount Everest, but it literally looks like a pointed roof. So it's one angle on this side, which goes down, falls down into China, and the other side that falls down into Nepal. And on the very crease of the very top, they had a red line that was painted all the way across that prohibited you to go onto the China side. Like you couldn't even like put your foot over on the other side. Like theoretically you could, because who's going to, you know, tell on you, but it was supposed to be like, don't enter, like, you know, this, the zone, and you got to stay on the Nepal side, which we did. But it's, you know, fingers crossed for you. It sounds like when you take on Manzala, which is this next mountain you're going to do, roughly I will be summiting the Matterhorn in Switzerland. So I'm going to give you a big shout out when I'm up there.
Ah, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't climbed it, but it's really on my list. Looks really beautiful.
Well, I'll fly from the top of that and meet me on the top of the Matterhorn.
Yeah. So who are you climbing with?
Me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On who are you? Well, are you climbing alone or with someone?
No, I've got an Alpine Ascents person, just one guy. But yeah, I mean, maybe it's different for you because you're younger, but being the old guy in camp, nobody will climb with me. And all my friends
No. You're not the old guy.
Yeah. Well, nobody will climb with me. So I have to, I do these things by myself, man.
Well, I would love to come to US and climb with you. I haven't climbed any mountain in the US, so it's about time.
Yeah. Well, let's wrap this up. Okay. So back up, let's plan for success really quickly. Okay.
Yeah.
And when let's just assume that you can pull this up by, I think you said November 6th or 5th.
Yeah.
Something like that. What happens after that? What do you want to happen? How do you see your life going?
Well, best case scenario, we are finished mid-October, but worst case, we don't get the permission, but say we have to be finished in October. I'm sure I will be pretty busy with, we're making a movie and books. So, and I actually, I already had planned a trip to US right after and a trip to Italy. So I'm sure it will be pretty busy. But I also I'm thinking more and more about Everest, Lhotse, and Nuptse. So, I was thinking about it last year when we climbed also, at Nuptse. It looks so beautiful.
Yeah, it's a beautiful mountain.
Yeah. So maybe next year. And for sure, I'm going to start to run more because I love to run. And I'm 36 now, so it's about time to go home and get kids.
What do you mean, kid? You still go to the grocery store. a husband might help, right?
So that's my plan to have a little bit more normal life and hopefully get a family. I hope so. But for sure, I will do more running and do more races in the mountain, like both on ski and like ultramarathon and sky racing. And so that's my plan the next couple of years to do that. But I'm thinking about Everest, Lhotse, and Nuptse. So
well, I might have you. I'm throwing a big event here in Sun Valley. I might have you come be a speaker.
Yeah. It would be great.
Will you do that?
Yeah, for sure. I love to be in the US, and I haven't traveled so much around, but I really love when I have been there.
No, I live in a magical place, Sun Valley, Idaho.
Yeah, I have seen your pictures.
They're insane. Yeah. Look, you never know what's going to happen. I'm writing a book right now, and I have no idea how that's all going to go. I have a ghostwriter that's helping me out with that. And then, the movie that the NFL shot, which, you're in it when we came, right? It's so amazing. When's it Emmy for Best Picture?
Of course. So,
yeah. I mean, I who knew when we're up there and going through all of our struggles and, the little scene with you inside your tent and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That was cute.
It was.
You just never know where these things go.
And
14 Peaks turned out to be a brilliant movie. I hope nothing but success and luck for you, not only in accomplishing this amazing feat, but also just, for you out there inspiring, especially other women, going forward. I think it'd be really cool for you to have you at this event next June here in Sun Valley, Idaho.
That would be great. So I hope I also can use the project and work with the brands and the industry to make it more equal. So that's my goal after also.
Yeah. No, I love it. Okay. Well, listen, where can people find you? And where I normally find you and follow you is on Instagram. And look, everybody that's out there, this is going to come out in a week or two. And you need to follow this chick. She's a badass. She's a little 5'2", I don't know, whatever you are, just power punch. She kicked my ass on Everest. But at the same time, she's always got a smile on her face while she's kicking people's ass going up and down the mountain. And I will never, ever forget one of my most poignant moments, mainly because I felt so great. And it was such a important part of the mountain is when we were on Everest and we're climbing up the Lhotse face in that crazy, snowstorm. And you and I just kicked ass going up, and we were taking pictures of each other going up the most dangerous part, you know, that you could possibly imagine. And it was just a lot of fun to do that with you and be a part of that expedition party. But, you know, as always, back to the question, where can people find you on Instagram?
Yeah. So on Instagram, I'm Kristin.Harila. That's where I'm mostly updating. And also when I'm offline, I have some people home that's taking care of giving information out how it's going as we climb.
This is on Facebook,
yeah,
right?
This is Facebook and Instagram. They are connected. So you get the information there. So yeah, that's the easiest part to get the newest information about how we are climbing and how we are doing.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, look at nothing but the best. And I'm actually going to have you on for a record fourth time if you pull this thing off, right? Maybe
that would be great.
But I know that you can do it. And it's, you know, some of these things like Mother Nature and COVID and other things, sometimes they're just out of your control and there's nothing much you can do about it. And right now, the Chinese government, it is what it is. So, you know, you just use your charm like you always do and, you know, use your persuasive abilities to hopefully change the government's decision and stance on not allowing you into that country to actually climb those mountains.
Yeah, I have to just do that and pray for the best. And if not, I'm coming to your podcast and we'll be crying next time.
I love that. Okay. All right. Listen, everybody, there she is, the one, the only Wonder Woman of Norway, Kristin Harila. Good luck to you and can't wait to hear your next adventure, okay?
Thank you.
Right on. Take care.